This hour of Overdrive, powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
5 sick days and 2 floater days for me coming up.
I got it. Can we get on with it?
Hey, dude, what did I tell you? From July
2nd. Every day is a floater day for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Who gives a f***?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, I am feeling very good this afternoon. Very, very good this afternoon.
I was feeling very good yesterday. I did not get to see my guy, Steph Curry. But KD kind of put on a show.
Well, so I was Kawhi. Like,
yeah, like the whole thing. It was like a performance. It was one of those games you're like, wow, wow, wow. Like this shot after that shot.
Were you pretty close to the floor?
Yeah.
I heard rumblings.
Where were you sitting last night?
You were on
Why
the
was
floor.
I on TV?
There no, was, I didn't see you on TV.
There was a rumor that you were very close to the floor.
Were you courtside last night?
No, are you kidding me? Babs was.
Oh, I saw Mike Babcock. He was sitting there with Larry Tannenbaum.
I was like 30 rows up.
You were spotted, apparently.
If you're Kyle Dubas, are you nervous that Babcock is sitting there with Tannenbaum being like, if it's me, I give him 7-2-5. Exactly. I'm just saying, Larry, if it's me and I'm evaluating the job that we're all doing here, I give Nylander 7.25.
That would be an awkward transaction. What also was awkward, I sat down. And as soon as I sat down with my girlfriend, the lady came by and she's like, can you pass down these white wines? And the guys beside me looked like they were in for a big night. And they pleaded her to give them the whole bottle. They wanted to sit with a bottle of white wine. Two. They're like, no, we're not doing it. So they're like, okay, bring us 30 wines. So I was like... We had to, you know how you pass them down? I had to pass down like 30 wines to these guys, 4 of them, and they got like 3 each.
Well, that's 12, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was close. A lot.
Still a lot of wine.
Still a lot.
It's more than
I said to them, I'm like, guys, can I have one? And I'll just get another one for you when you're done.
Absolutely. That's smart. Be right there.
Why would you want to drink wine at a sporting event like that?
You like a Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc.
I love a bottle of white. I do, but I like it if I'm out for dinner or something.
That's a rowdy crowd. I thought these guys would go in rager mode and be like double vodka sodas or double vodka waters with a lemon. They were all in on the white wine.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't understand it because I was envious last night. Like, we're all lucky. We get the ability to go to a lot of sporting events.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of ones where I walk out and I'm like, that was awesome. I've been to a lot of them where I walk out and I'm like, I can't believe I just had to watch that.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, what an amateur move by me. Why was I not down there? Because it felt like the energy was coursing through that building. The way it ended, it goes to overtime. Kawhi had a great night. Kevin Durant. That guy is unguardable. There's nothing you can do against Kevin Durant. Kawhi Leonard was on him.
You got to have it when he shoots from half court.
Even
almost.
That. Like he was like 2 feet inside the half court in nothing but mesh.
I know.
Nothing
it's crazy.
But mesh.
That and he's had two memorable three-pointers in both world championships that were same thing. Like just step inside, over top. He's so rangy that he just like, he puts it up and flicks it and it's like nothing to him.
No, he is not guardable. Like, Kawhi Leonard made two great defensive plays late in the game that led to turnovers, and from that standpoint, you're like, I'll take it. And Durant had, what did he have, 54 last night or 51 points last night?
50-plus.
And nobody does that. Like, every time he rolls into Toronto, this guy puts up 50-plus, or it feels like it, and I expect he'll probably do it in 2 weeks when the Raptors are in Golden State.
And there's no panic on that Golden State team. Like, they were down. And it was just like, okay, there's a build, and then all of a sudden, game's tied. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Now, what do you take from that
this
as a Raps fan?
This game was locked down, and then like, it's just gone.
Are you happy you beat him, but are you saying, like, they're missing two big players still? Like, where do you take that as far as, like, measuring stick?
Well, if you want to go measuring stick for me, I watched that game, and I said, okay, maybe you do meet in June, but Steph didn't play. Draymond Green didn't play, and they still almost, it's like
But you win, right?
That's like a win thing, is right? A win is a win, but...
Yeah, anything can happen in June.
I don't think anybody beats that team when they're firing on all cylinders.
No, I don't disagree. I didn't walk away from that game thinking that the Raptors have a chance in a game in a seven-game series. No. I don't believe that they have a chance. If the
full
Golden
health
State
on
Warriors
both sides
are healthy and performing, right? Like, as long as there's no infighting or...
Right.
These guys go on the coldest run of their careers. If they play just simply the way we expect they play and the way that we know that they can play, Golden State beats every team in the league.
You just
there's nobody
healthy
else that can
and
beat them.
Performing, nobody touches that team.
But you guys know this. You put Steph in the game, you put Draymond Green into the game, it changes the rhythm.
Yeah,
maybe Durant doesn't go off for 50-plus. Mm-hmm. Maybe Klay Thompson doesn't get the shots that he gets. You know, there were other guys who contributed last night to Golden State, but... There's only one ball. So you put Steph out there and Green out there, it changes.
It's kind of that narrative with Matthews and Nylander coming back to the Leafs. Like a lot of talent, but you got to make it work. There's only one puck. There's only one ball. But you have to have the talent. And it looked like a great game. I kept my eye on it. I have to admit I didn't watch it from start to finish because they kept panning to Drake, and I'd had enough of that jock sniffer.
Well, you notice he's only friends with the superstars of superstars. Like he's not there's no guy coming off the bench that's like, I'll see you tonight, Drake, let's go out for a drink.
Here's
he doesn't even acknowledge the plugs.
You know who I think is super cool is Kawhi. Like I like that guy. I like the way he carries
all
himself. He's just as I get a vibe that he's like not down with the Drake vibe. Like I think he respects him and that, but like it just is I don't know. I get a sense that he's like, all right, just let me play and leave me alone and get off the court. And
oh, I don't think he's going to stay in Toronto because of Drake.
Right.
I don't think Drake is a part of that courtship at all. I agree with you in terms of Kawhi and what is important to him.
Right.
And
he's a great player.
He's a great player. Like he had a great night last night offensively. I think there's even more there. His shot, it's not squeaky clean, but it works for
got
him.
Got some hitches for him.
It's kind of an ugly rhythm, but it works for him.
And he's a good player.
He's a really good player. And last night, those games, a lot of times they don't meet expectations, let alone exceed them. I think that's exactly what happened last night. That was the most anticipated regular season game in a long time, and it exceeded expectations.
Yeah, it didn't disappoint. Like, I had it on one of the TVs, and I was watching, and I kept, you know, it was a 9-point game, and I thought, okay, Golden State's making a push here. And then it gets to OT, and you got a lot of moving parts. Like, it was, you had to watch it.
It was a must-see TV last night.
It was outstanding.
It was a great game.
I was happy for the Raptors.
You know, it was like, must-see was Nick Nurse's suit jacket.
How about him dressed like a magician last night?
They on the Jumbotron, they, like, panned to him just before the start of the game, and it was like, you know when the fans gasp when they see a bad injury replay or like a goal? They were like, whoa!
I loved it. Like, it was Craig Sager night last night.
But
that's
he knew exactly.
Yeah, Steve Kerr, by the way,
he
apologized after the game. He's like, I forgot and I didn't wear my jacket. Because you got to wear the jacket.
Absolutely.
Sager night.
Everyone else was doing it. Jack Armstrong had a thing of beauty on
he
last
did
night.
Have a beauty.
Cherries on a white jacket.
Yeah.
Red cherries on a white jacket.
I think Leo.
I think
kinda,
he got that from Don Cherry.
I think that's exactly what he did.
And Leo kind of dumbed it down a little bit, I think. But Leo has that look anyways. He has that flash and dash. But Rod the Bod and Jack were on fire.
Like, but Nick Nurse stole the show.
Yeah, it was.
With that suit, man, he was dressed.
But he knew, you know, this
like
guy
a magician.
Gets it.
And
he
it was a great look. And I guess you'd get that tailored, right? You're the head coach of an NBA team. It's a big night. You'd have to go somewhere and get that tailored.
Is there a place, the thrift shop here called Value Village?
Yeah, of course.
Here? So you don't go. You don't walk into Value Village
he did
and
not
pull
go
that
there
off
with
the
that
rack.
Jacket.
I'll bet you that's a $2,500
suit. Exactly. That's what I mean. That's tailored. And he, you know, the minute that it was going to be that night, he said, go and get me a coat.
Absolutely.
I need to dial this
and
up.
And they got the win because of it, I think. I think he's got to break that out for every big game.
You think
I think
so?
They get to Game 7, NBA Finals. You have to dress like that if you're Nick
That's
Nurse.
That's the question that Josh should ask him.
Well, we're going to ask him. He's coming on at
That's
6 o'clock.
Awesome.
We got Nick Nurse on this show at 6 p.m., so we will ask him, you know,
All right,
the
we'll ask him then.
Motivation behind it. We know it was Craig Sager that they were paying homage to, but why did you go with the blue on blue on blue with the black shirt, the different tinted? You're staring at this sweater a lot, aren't you?
I am giving that sweater like it's Nick Nurse's jacket.
I have caught you staring at my sweater.
Like, it's are you going to play polo after the
show? Got the collar up. Like,
I love
it. It looks comfortable. It is
comfortable. It's warm. It's Italian.
You look like the richest person in Ontario.
Yeah. You're going to the club right
after. You're going to have a cigar at the country club after and some cognac.
I don't know if he can eat McDonald's in that.
No, I'll be eating McDonald's.
No, you're not.
But if I get one.
You are too rich.
I feel rich in this.
You look so
I feel
rich.
Spectacular.
Like
I feel good.
You're Brian Hayes the third or
That's
something
right.
like
that.
Thurston Howell.
Yeah.
Thurston Howell the third.
You do.
Esquire.
You look like that in that sweater. It's outstanding.
You look so rich.
You got plans or something? Is that why?
Where are you
going? I'm
going
out afterwards.
You are?
I got plans tonight. So.
Well, it does look like you've got some sort. But it's at like a country club.
Yeah, I'm trying to send out a bit of a mojo tonight.
Because you don't roll
Where are you
into
going?
The, you don't
Doesn't
roll into
matter.
Crocodile Rock wearing that.
I might.
No, somebody will burn that off of you.
Like a you match go into the Crocodile close. Rock and butt out a cigarette on someone's face with that outfit because you're better than them.
You look down on people at the Crocodile
Rock. You're the richest guy in Ontario today.
I feel rich.
It does.
I feel very wealthy.
So rich.
Very comfortable. I've got
my man Tom Barrasso. He would have a lot of time for that. Outfit.
It's a great sweater, man. It looks good. It feels even better.
It's got a little bit of a Jim Dorn. Is it Jim Dorn from Major League?
Roger Dorn.
I don't take grounders in practice.
Exactly. Like that's a Roger Dorn look.
I refuse to take ground balls.
Yeah. That's Roger Dorn right there.
So nice.
Tell me it's not absolutely
it's so dialed
exceptional.
In. It's so nice.
It's slightly pompous,
great.
Though. It's slightly pompous.
It's like
there's
the
an
best.
Element of pompousness. What is it? Pompicity or pompousness?
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah. There's some pompousness. Doesn't matter.
I like it, though.
Anyway,
just
Nick
leave
Nurse.
At 6 today and say, you know what? No way.
I'm better than you. I'm out of here at 6.
If you did smoke, you'd flick a dart at somebody.
Yeah, and just
walk
say,
away.
Pick it up and put it out.
Well, we got Bruce Boudreaux at 4:30. Do you think Brucey rocks these kind of sweaters in St. Paul or what?
Hello.
Well, hello.
Hello.
He does.
Did we bring that up to him?
I think we might have to find a way to massage it into the interview. I think at the very least, when we bring him on, we all say hello.
We'll say Brucey. We'll try to be on time today or like on top of it because...
He probably doesn't remember.
Well, we'd say, do you remember last time we jammed you up?
Yeah.
And he would say, I don't know, and you had to say this.
He probably doesn't remember. Hello.
Hello.
And the other thing about the Raps game last night, Brian, Klay Thompson, and you might come back at me and show me a stat page where he had 40. Like he didn't
do anything for you.
He it wasn't one of his best nights, but like he had 23 points. He went 3 for 9 from three. I mean, that's really what you look at. This guy when
he's
hitting
shots. I guess that's where it is because I'm like, where's 11? Where is he going to the 3-point shot? And when is it going to go down? Because that's what I want to kind of see.
Well,
that's what you watch on TV,
absolutely.
Right?
And you could tell he wasn't in rhythm last night. Like, he still hit a couple of shots, but there were times where he had some looks. Like, late in that game, too, in overtime, he had some looks, and he just missed shots.
But,
and you watch the highlights of a game where that guy goes to Chicago. He sets the record.
Oh, he 13 threes in, like, a quarter. You know what I mean? Like, he gets hot, and it's like, it's over.
Yeah.
But no one's touching this guy.
Steph was courtside. You could see him. He was coming off the bench every time.
Boogie Cousins was courtside. They all travel.
Neat.
You know, we were talking about that with Matthews going
Steph
through California.
Steph was courtside last night?
Yeah, he kept running on the court
on
after
bench.
A big shot.
Oh, I thought you meant your wife, Steph.
No, she's probably passed out on the couch.
Yeah, Steph Curry.
Laziness. It's tough.
I was
it's a long way
him.
To get
He's...
down to the
I'll tell you
Scotiabank.
What. The timeouts in the NBA is quite a production. As they all get on the floor, they're all looking around, if you know what I mean. Like, the guys that aren't involved, like, it's like...
The
really,
single guys, or...?
I don't know. I know what they're up to, and I know exactly what they're doing, and I find it comical, because...
Yeah.
I think I told you that story. I went courtside one time, here in Toronto, with Jamal Mayers. And one of the players on the Raptors kept talking to these two girls that were right in front of us during the play.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
I sat my girlfriend last year. She wanted to sit courtside. I'm like, I guarantee you.
You get
that
hello?
One of the players from the opposition team, where were they? Not Golden State. Sacramento. It was Sacramento. Sure enough, number comes over. Call me.
Get out of here.
Swear to God. I told her, I go, it's coming. One of the visiting players is going to send a piece of paper over with the number.
Get out of here. Seriously?
Why would I lie about that?
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that it's that obvious. you know, that you know people that actually have been a party to this. You know, right. Like you hear stories about A-Rod, and but you're saying basically what you're telling me is any girl within three rows of the bench is eventually going to be a target for these guys.
Not a target. Just toss the don't say it like that. A target, but it's a piece of paper that comes over.
What, they want to be friends? They want to be friends. They're looking for a friendship.
A duration of time. I don't know.
Yeah,
I put it this way: if you're single,
we all know. We're all grown men.
If
we
were in our 20s,
if you're single and you're
why wouldn't
you're allowed to enjoy your life. That's the only way I would say it. I would never throw anybody under the bus. They can live. I don't judge.
It's not illegal to do it. Yeah. I'm not saying that it is.
Oh, but it was funny how I told him, you're going to sit courtside. I guarantee you're going to get a piece of paper with a number on it. And I asked her the next morning. I'm like, well? She's like, yep.
Who was it? What was the?
She wouldn't tell me. She's like, I threw it in the garbage.
I'm trying to think of Sacramento. Who could have been Boogie Cousins?
You don't think I Googled the lineup and I was like furious?
Could have been Boogie. You should have confronted him last night.
Might have been Boogie.
He was in Sacktown.
To me, you should be proud of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
got a nice-looking girlfriend.
And she turned it down. She ripped up the number and said, get out of here.
Exactly. Move on.
Yeah, right. Everybody keeps the number in case.
That's tucked in somewhere, right?
That thing's up in the cloud.
I'm in Sacramento. How's it going?
It's up in the cloud somewhere. All right, Bruce Boudreau in 15 minutes. We're just over 24 hours away from the deadline of all deadlines.
The biggest 24 hours.
The only 24 hours. William Nylander, the Maple Leafs, nothing's happened yet.
When do you think it's happening?
I don't
know,
man.
Today, 5:12?
Well, it's got to happen at some point in the next 24 hours and 44 minutes. So we'll touch on that. Bruce Boudreau coming up. Nick Nurse at 6 p.m.
I think you've received enough messages about my little tale before about the numbers being floated around, where you understand now that
I got an anonymous text saying might have been in that situation. So maybe it's true.
Well, I'm not disputing it's true. I'm just saying I didn't think it was within 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
Where we've heard from two different people now.
Well, it's different than any other sports because courtside is like you're running around and like staring at people, and they're like right there.
It's pretty intimate too. The court's not that big, and it's kind of a
The seats are right there.
It's kind of like a party down there too. I get a sense that it's like the guys during the regular season. Like
oh, they're having a great time.
They're not. Yeah, they're not that engaged.
They're having a great time. Look at last night. Drake's in the middle of everything. Steph Curry's up constantly after every single whistle. He's on the court.
I get worked up about Drake, but it bothers me. He's
well,
such
did you
a
see
star.
The move that Durant pulled on him last night?
He took his jersey off and gave it to him?
No, going into the half, he gave him a twister.
Oh, the purple nipple. Yeah.
He gave him a
purple nurple?
Yeah.
There's another word for it, another breast, term for
breast
it.
Breast twist.
A breast twister.
Yes.
Like, who? What grown man does? That's lame on Durant, too. What are you doing? Yeah, like, why are you doing that to anybody?
Drake makes it about himself. Like, go and sing a song
Durant,
and sit your ass
down. What are
you
doing?
He bothers me.
Yeah, Durant bothers me, too, though. Like, Durant.
But like, why are you asking for a jersey? You might as well just ask for his jock strap and he can wear it on his face out of the arena.
That happens all the time, though. Like, that does happen all the time. Guys give out their jerseys.
But not on the court. He could have walked into the dressing room and said, hey, you know what? Or said, hey, I'm going to come see you after. Can you get a jersey for a friend? Like, this guy has to make it about himself all the time. He's a superstar. He doesn't have to act like that.
Well, he does.
I know.
He's got the best seat
annoying.
In the house. And
it's just
I think Kevin Durant, though, those two are a match made in heaven. Durant's the same way. Durant's always, you know, he's got burner accounts and he's always complaining. You notice how he didn't tell Drake to sit down and shut up like he did with another fan in Dallas a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Or San Antonio, wherever it was. Mail-in Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. Bruce Boudreau in about 5 minutes, head coach of the Wild. Leafs are at Mini tomorrow night. And we're just over 24 hours away from the deadline. And this William Nylander stuff, at the very least, we're going to have some sort of a resolution.
Well,
some sort of an answer anyway.
For sure.
You know, we'll know, are you playing? If you are playing, where are you playing? I don't sense a trade is going to happen in the next 24 hours. I guess anything is possible. I know that LeBron was reporting that Dubas was reaching out to teams and asking them to make their final
pitch.
Well,
now there's a new catchphrase, last call on William Nylander. It's like, oh, God.
Well, but even Frank Cervelli was reporting that you know, Philly and Toronto talk. You have to talk. If I'm any manager, you call and say, you know, what's the price? What's the asking price? Everyone knows it right now. The worst case scenario is it comes and passes and he's not playing hockey this year.
See, I think the worst case scenario is a trade, and it's a bad trade. I would much prefer he miss the whole season and deal with him next year and treat him like he's a top prospect that, yes, you're probably going to have to trade.
Right.
As opposed to thinking, I have to make a deal because we're in the window, we got a good team, and then you trade him for 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's so difficult to win and the window is so small that
you got to give yourself
everything. It's not that small, man. It's not that small. Matthews is 21. Marner's 21.
I get it, but
this
maybe
isn't Pittsburgh.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you don't do anything crazy because you think this is the only year you can win.
I think there's about a 3 to 5 year window.
No, it's not the only one, but it could be one of the ones where, like, how many
teams? Oh, they're in it right now. They're in the window
right now.
They're in it right now.
How many teams are on the league? It's not like back in the day where it's like, man, you hope we don't run into Chicago. That's big time problems. LA Kings, they'll kick our ass. Excuse me. How many teams scare you right now? Nashville scares me. Winnipeg scares me. Washington might scare me. Tampa. After that,
and
who
Toronto
does?
Toronto scares teams, and they should scare teams. And
we're talking about 5 or 6 teams, so you're in the loop right now. So
I hear
you. Do you want to piss away one of those years? And if he's not here, don't you want something else to be here?
But my point is, yes, if you get a trade that's appropriate value, then pull the trigger on it. But don't just make a deal because you feel like, this is it. I have to prove myself and show that I've gotten something tangible for the rest of the season.
I agree. You cannot make a bad trade.
And I think what will be fascinating is if they don't get him signed and he's actually done for the year, how they handle him going forward. Because I think the next step would be, do you trade him between now and the trade deadline where you can do that? He just won't be able to play for his new team until next year. But what if that deadline passes? What if it gets past 5 p.m. and Dubas calls up his rep and goes, all right, I'm just going to make this abundantly clear. We're not trading you. You're playing with the Maple Leafs, and I'll call you when we're ready to negotiate again.
Yeah, we'll talk again next
summer.
Because
we're doing Mitch first and then Matthews. I could see them. I don't even know if this is legal, and I could see the PA probably stepping in and be like, you're not allowed to do that. But a team-imposed deadline. You know, the players always go, not negotiating during the season.
Yeah,
get it done before camp. I could almost see them being like, if this passes and the summer goes through, if you're not here by day one of training camp and you take the deal that we're offering you, spend another year over there if you want.
Yeah.
Like,
you
could do, I mean, I could see them getting petty.
It could get ugly and emotional. Absolutely. I mean, right now I would have to think it's not the smoothest of sailing right now. You're 24 hours away from the kid not playing hockey this year. Now, I think that's going to change.
I hope it changes.
No,
for every party involved. He should be playing. He's a good player. He's a young guy. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
Bruce Boudreau is on the line, the head coach of the Minnesota Wild. The Leafs are in Minnesota tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. And he's back on Overdrive. Again, here's Bruce Boudreau. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, we're fired up here in Toronto.
Hey, don't forget, there's always European League you can play in this year.
That's true. Did you ever play over in Europe?
Yeah, I played in Germany in 84, long time ago.
Did you enjoy that?
You know what? The actual hockey is a lot of fun because if you've ever been over there, the audience or the crowds are always into it. They're singing, they're dancing, but there just wasn't enough hockey for me twice a week, and that was it. So I had to come back.
Bruce, I think I played against you like my first year pro. Did you play in Adirondack for the playoffs one year?
I did, yep.
Yeah, 91.
They won the Calder Cup that year, yep.
Like a ringer that year or what?
No, it's a long story, but I was playing in Fort Wayne and I came to Adirondack, because Barry Melrose was the coach and we used to room together. I don't think they could find anybody else. Those were the two reasons. Where'd you play?
I was in Capital District Islanders.
Okay, yeah.
So that was my rookie year. I think I was 19 or 20, so I think you were just finishing
up. Beautiful rink. Yeah.
Yes, it was RPI College. Great rink there.
Did Bruce get you at all or what?
I am sure he did. I saw it. You only played 4 or 5 games that year, but I'm sure you got one on me.
Well, you never know. I can't remember that far back. Yeah.
We'll find out for you. Bruce Boudreau joining us, head coach of the Wild. Leafs in Minnesota tomorrow night. Are you still watching a lot of Leaf games these days? Or
Unfortunately, everyone. And I'm afraid. They're pretty good. When they get their guys going, they're pretty good.
So do you need like a scouting report, or do you already know enough?
I think I pretty well know, but we watched a lot of video today, and we'll watch it again tomorrow. I mean, hopefully you can always find a little something that you'd missed. And when you're talking to your team about, you know, another team, you it's great that you have an extra day off, only because you can you don't want to give all the information at one time, because they tend to forget some of it. So you try to give it in bits and pieces.
Bruce, how do you deal with a penalty kill situation? You coached Ovechkin in Washington, and if you're in that penalty killing video, you're like, do not let this guy be open. And the same with Mitch Marner. I do the Leaf games, and it's like, I'm watching the power play. I'm like, does anyone want to filter the puck away and not let it go to him? Because it runs through him, so why let him touch it? But it just seems like great players, they get the puck, and they're going to do it anyway. It's like they always have it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And that's true. And there's not much you can do to it. He's going to get the puck, because you're not going to be able to keep it away from the Leaf team for 2 minutes, and they'll get it to him. So you got to deal with it that way. But, you know, when we had with Ovi, too, and even to this day, I mean, you know what's happening, and you know they're going to get it. But great players seem to make great plays, mm-hmm. and that's what makes them great players. You know, I mean, when Laine gets in that spot and he's shooting the puck, or Ovechkin's shooting the puck, it's really difficult to stop, and the best way to do it is not to take penalties. Mm-hmm. And when you don't take penalties, that means, especially against the Leafs, that means you're not slowing them down, and they're so fast that, I mean, you got to find ways to slow them down and impede their progress. But it's a double-edged sword. It's a tough thing to do.
As a defenseman, how would you assess watching some tape of Morgan Rielly? He's had an impressive year for the Leafs, Bruce. Just break down what you see from him. You know, he's a skater. I know you like to handle the puck and be an offensive guy. What do you see from Morgan Rielly?
Well, you see a guy that's really sort of had a breakout year, for sure. Like, I mean, he's been good and hovering around, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say mediocre, but what young guys do. And now this year, it's sort of like he's awoken and said, I'm going to be elite. And the plays he's making and the shots he's taking are going in. The plays he's making, he's getting them to great players who's finishing. So his confidence is through the roof. I don't see him making the mistakes that he made in his first couple of years, as far as losing the puck in his own zone or not picking up the right guy. He's doing the good job defensively, and yet as soon as the puck is turned over or whatever, he's gone. I mean, he's as fast as they can and as they are, and he's quarterbacking a pretty good team.
With Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Wild, and the Leafs are in Minnesota tomorrow night. They're in tough. You guys have a great home record, and I would assume, you know, what the Leafs are going through in their division probably feels very similar to yourself, where the Atlantic is loaded right now with Tampa and Toronto, and Buffalo's off to a great start. Boston's a good team. And the Central's got Nashville and Colorado and Winnipeg and you guys. I mean, I guess that's just the luck of the draw, or the unluck of the draw, if you will. But it must keep you motivated knowing that you're in a division like that, that's just loaded with talent and a lot of teams that can do damage.
Well, yeah, in this league, in today's NHL, there's never a day off. I mean, every game is a grind. I mean, whether it's the Atlantic or whether it's the Central Division, I bet you the Metro could still say the same thing about some of their teams, and so could the Pacific. But, I mean, it's every time you make you get 2 points, it's like a huge jump. And every time you don't, it's like, oh my God, I'm stagnant. The teams are passing us. So it's a two-game losing streak, which we're on now, is huge, because we haven't picked up any points in a week. And so where was once looking pretty comfortable, a week later, you're going, we better start winning some games.
Bruce, we've been talking about where the game is headed and where it's come from. You know, there's been a few games with the Maple Leafs, especially, that they've gone through a whole game where there's been no penalties. And, you know, there's still a ton of skill there. The game is at an all-time high as far as speed. But, you know, where do you see it as far as where you want your team to be maybe physical and winning some battles, but you also have to tread that line because the game has changed a little bit?
Oh, it's changed a lot. I mean, it is all skill. But I will tell you this. I think the most exciting game of the year we played was when we played Winnipeg last week, where there was a little brawl inside their penalty bench and everybody got into it. And I sort of miss a little bit of the old time hockey. even though I wasn't the biggest or toughest guy, it was a lot of fun playing back then. But I don't know how much more faster, how much more skill guys can get, because it is at breakneck speed these days, and it's incredibly when you're at ice level and you're watching it from where I'm watching it, man, they are so fast. It's and what they can do with with the puck at that kind of speed is really incredible. I mean, I don't know how far it can go, but I'd like it to be a little more physical myself.
Brucey, imagine last night, Krejci from Boston got hit and his tooth got knocked out, and Boychuk picked it up and dropped it off at the Bruins bench. Can you imagine back in the day if he tried to say, oh, here's this guy's tooth, somebody would have grabbed him and thrown him in the bench and beat the living piss out of him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, what was it? I heard the story today, as a matter of fact. The young guy from Montreal, the rookie, he was on the ice in training camp or something, and a fight took place, and he was astounded after the game because it was the first time he'd ever been on the ice when a fight occurred. Like, I mean, the game has gone, has come a long way.
Yeah,
I would
really
say so. I didn't hear that story.
The Cock and Yammy story. I didn't hear that either. But
he had witnessed
well, he's
fight
probably,
or
he's
been
18
on the
years
one.
Old. Yeah.
One of our media guys said, actually, I may be wrong on this, so don't quote me, but I think I was talking to Jim Houston, and I thought the story might have came from him, but or the group that we were talking in this morning.
Well, yeah, that would explain it. I mean, they would know. We probably should, but we don't.
Yeah, I missed that story, but that is
that's a
it
good
is.
One.
I mean,
I guess,
it doesn't
you know,
surprise me.
In
though.
Finland, they're not fighting in junior or whatever. I guess
exactly.
You know, but. Anyway, Leafs Wild tomorrow night in Minnesota. It should be a great game. It's going to be a fun one. Enjoy it. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Bruce.
No problem. And I tell me for sure that Nylander won't be in the lineup for them tomorrow.
He needs a couple weeks. You know,
wow. Depends.
He's a thoroughbred like us, Bruce.
Mike says he's ready.
Well, yeah. We'll find out. I mean, that would be pretty shocking.
There
That'd
is a direct
cool,
flight but... to Sweden or from Sweden to Minnesota, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
Good luck with that if it happens.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
You got it. There's Bruce Boudreau.
Friend of the show.
Leaf super fan.
We love Bruce.
And head coach of the Minnesota Wild. That would kind of have a WWE vibe to it if Nylander showed up out of nowhere and played tomorrow night.
Just showed up in warm-up. I think people are tracking flights, though. Like, there's not a flight that's coming out of Sweden that's not being tracked by somebody around here.
It's getting ridiculous now. People are saying that they're spotting the MLSE private plane and that maybe he's flying into Montreal and then going from Montreal into the island so he avoids Pearson. Well, I don't know.
Stop it.
Yeah. Let's just see how it all plays out. Let's try to keep it together here. Ray Ferraro coming up at 5. Nick Nurse is going to join us at 6 p.m. Say I Do with Overdrive in Las Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you or your better half and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style in Vegas, and you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. Send a photo, shoot a video, get creative, do whatever you got to do to get noticed. All the details up on our website, tsn1050.ca. So Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. Chris Broussard from FS1, his take on the Raptors game last night. Nick Nurse coming up at 6.
Nice.
Future headlines still to come. Yeah. There's a lot on the go here.
Love them.
But the past couple of weeks, I guess we've only done this once, we're calling up different people that are trying to come to Vegas with
us.
Right? Last year, or last week, we called up somebody, and she had a very enticing case, made a very enticing case on why she should be chosen alongside her fiancé. Round two of this. This is the vetting process.
Yeah.
We're going to do this every Friday at 4:45. Eric Gill is on the line. Eric Gill, and he wants to renew his vows with his wife. So I guess he got married in 2015. I think he got boozed up in 2015, so he caused a bit of a scene, and he basically wants to...
Wasn't supposed to drink at the reception and went south.
He wants to redeem himself. What so happened? Vegas will do that. Well, he's on the line. You want to ask him?
Yes.
Eric.
Hey, Wallace? Yep.
What happened in 2015? You get sauced up and did something you weren't supposed to?
Well, I promised. I said, I won't drink at the reception, and that turned into, I won't drink too much at the reception, and then that turned into getting sick in the back of my buddy Wes's girlfriend's car on the way back to the hotel room at the end of the night.
So you were throwing up on your wedding night, is that what you're telling us?
Yes, sir.
And you think in Vegas somehow you're not going to do that?
Well.
Probably not.
Maybe I've learned my lesson.
I don't know, man.
No, Vegas is the place where it's like you say, forget about lessons. I'm going to do it worse.
Well, all I can see, I believe you're... What's your father's name?
Rick.
Wow.
Whoa. You had me at Rick.
Labatt 50 fan?
He likes Labatt.
What's Rick's routine? Is he just... Like, is he just an old school guy? Like, beers in the garage, Leaf games? What's his routine?
He's exactly what you picture Rick would be.
Mustache?
He used to have one. Not anymore. He knew it.
He's more dignified now. Is that what you're telling us?
A little bit, yeah. As he's grown a little older, he's slowing down a little bit, but he still has Rick in him.
All right. Rick, Labatt 50s, a garage, a Leaf fan. That's very enticing, man. These are great cases people are making. Well, good luck with this. I guess we're going to find out in the next month and a half, if you're going to end up making the cut. But it would be very cool to party with you and renew Rick. The vows down in Vegas.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Awesome,
thanks,
man. Good luck.
Calling, guys.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for submitting your case for joining us in Vegas. There's Eric, and he wants to renew his vows in Vegas after throwing up on his wedding night in 2015.
Well, you can bounce back.
You can always bounce back. She didn't listen. She was still there the next day.
Exactly.
And believe me, everyone knows what you're getting into before the wedding.
Yeah.
Wives, husbands.
Yeah, you just don't turn the switch.
No, exactly. Unless it was an arranged marriage. I'm pretty sure his wife and, or I guess his fiance at the time.
Knew exactly what his routine was going to be.
Knew exactly what this guy was going to get up to. So, again, you can email us, vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. with why you believe you and your better half should be joining us in Vegas. We're going to the Leaf game on the Thursday night. We're doing a couple of shows down there. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Fired up about it.
And time is flying, man. Like, we're into December tomorrow. Before you know it, we're going to be in Vegas.
A couple months away. That's it. It's impressive.
The thing of beauty. All right, Rays coming up. Chris Broussard and the Raptors win in overtime last night. Nick Nurse will join us at 6. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour of Overdrive was powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.